Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thank you, Carol. 306. Welcome back. It was a. It's actually been a rough couple of weeks, and I know a lot of people are going through a lot of stuff with isolation and alienation and, you know, don't have jobs and things like that, so I'm not trying to compare and contrast, but we got, you know, a couple weeks ago got put into lockdown and in quarantine, sort of figured that out. My daughter did not go to school for 2 weeks, and we survived that. And then for the third time this year, I can't believe it's been three in a year, a very sad trifecta. We've had, my wife and I have had a very large Reardon Zoo for many years, and I often, and many of you probably heard me talk about three dogs and three cats. Our numbers were very often that high, three dogs and three cats. Well, we're down to two dogs, two cats right now, and there's only two cats because we replaced one with a kitten about 4 weeks ago named Shadow that I never see. This cat could not be more appropriately named. It just darts around the house, and every once in a while I see a tail. I've never quite had a cat like this. But when I came back to St. Louis in 2006, I rented an apartment for just a little while down in Imperial because my boys were living down there in Barnhart. they were in middle school at the time. I think Aiden was even in elementary school. Anyway, we had cats that we had brought from Milwaukee, Becky and I. But I had never, wanted to get a dog. I'd had some dogs in Milwaukee. Hadn't had a dog in many years. So first thing I do, I moved into the city after having that apartment in Holly Hills, and I went to a kill shelter run by St. Louis County that, if I remember correctly, was right along the area that Roger was just describing off the Interbelt in Olive, right around that area. I don't even know if that's there. But I go in, and I found a dog that was maybe a year and a half. We named her Casey, and she was a great rescue and brought her home. So that was maybe in, April of 2007 when I moved into the house in South City. But we'd already had two cats. So I got a dog and two cats, and I go to Petropolis out in Chesterfield Valley. They were a longtime sponsor, and I was doing some work with them from time to time. And they used to do a great event out in the parking lot that was like a big rescue event, and there were games, and I can't. Dave, who's the guy? I'm drawing a blank on the goalie, Ben Bishop, who was the Blues goalie, but then went to Tampa Bay, right? Wasn't that his
name?
That's
him, yeah.
Yeah, so he was out there. I have a picture with him, because I think he was involved in animals because he had the connection with West St. Louis County. Anyway, it's a hot day, probably June, July. I'm out there, Petropolis, just kind of emceeing something, and there is a cat that was in this crate that looked just miserable because it was so hot. This poor cat was super big and long hair, and I just became fascinated. Well, ended up adopting this cat, and we named him Dave. We thought Dave was kind of a, no offense, Dave Klein, we thought that was kind of a funny. Human names with animals, I think, are rather comedic every once in a while. My wife was a big Dave Matthews fan, and she said, he kind of looks like a Dave, but he's a Maine Coon mix. And I don't know if people know Maine Coons, but they're huge, ginormous cats. So he wasn't as big as a regular purebred Maine Coon, but he was a big, big cat. You can see some of the pictures on Facebook or on Twitter. I put one up with me holding Dave from just a couple of years ago, and he's a big, big cat. Well, he had unfortunately had a lot of health struggles and had whittled away to nothing, and we had to put him to sleep over the weekend. It just got really bad. But the reason that he was in that parking lot, maybe this is an inspirational story for those of you out there who are, you know, lonely, and I think that the pet industry is doing quite well, and there are adoptions out there that people are able to make, you know, with COVID, and you can still do it safely. But Dave the cat came from New Orleans. He was rescued by a woman here named Nancy Lupia, who was with a group called Felines Forever. Nancy actually posted on my Facebook page over the weekend when she saw the news. And in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, Katrina was in 2005. As you might imagine, this would happen in any kind of, you know, emergency like this. You had cats and dogs that were abandoned roaming the streets. And then you had more cats and dogs because the ones that were abandoned were getting together and not, well, they weren't practicing safe sex. Let's just put it that way. So then you got cats and dogs, and Felines Forever went down. And I think a lot of these rescue groups from around the country, they do this when you have the natural disasters. They go in, they rescue the pets, and they put them up for adoption. And I found Dave, and we had him for almost 15 years. He was a great cat and added to the family. It's just tough. It is so tough. You know it's time, and we had to confront the reality. I actually had an appointment for him this week on Wednesday, and after I made that appointment last Thursday with my vet, we just realized that it was time, and the poor cat couldn't breathe. So we were able to get an emergency I guess, visit, if you will. Here's the other thing about this that I thought was interesting. I'm not criticizing the vet. We found a vet, Dave, actually one not too far from where you and I live out here in Fenton. But with these vets right now, and I think a lot of you have had this expertise. Dave, with your hamster dog, what's that dog's name?
That's Sadie, like on my little 6-pound princess. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, is she 6 pounds? I would have guessed
that's right.
A little lighter. Have you had to take Sadie to the vet during COVID?
In fact, I have. Yeah, we had a what we thought was a near death experience with her. So yeah, I had to take her in the last few months. Yep.
Wait, what was that? Did I hear about that?
Yeah,
the near death. I mean, what was she? Did she wake up and tell you that she went to heaven or something like that? What are you talking about?
It ended up being nothing, but basically for about 2 days she was just miserable. She couldn't eat. She was drinking water and it was just pooling out of her mouth. So. We thought with
I remember that.
Yes,
yeah.
We thought that with her age that it might have been time. Ended up being nothing, so we were okay. But yeah, this was in the last few months we had to do this.
What was it? Because I've had a dog that's had that happen too, and it was just something that got stuck in their teeth. I think that was creating all the extra drooling.
See, we never figured it out because they did all the blood work and the blood work came back normal. The vet said my best guess is that something maybe just bit her in the backyard and she had some sort of adverse reaction
it.
And
right.
we'd always have little, you know, tiny 10-inch, 11-inch snakes back there that could have done something to her. So we don't know for sure.
You know, one of those snakes could have eaten her whole. Let's just be honest about that. But the reason I bring it up is because you have to have a contactless visit. Like when we were bringing Dave in for some steroid treatments, because we were trying to do as much as we can, you know, you get to a point with a 15-year-old cat and you just have to make, you know, decisions, but you drop them off and then, you know, you pick them up. So there's no contact at all. Well, for this, because you're doing euthanasia, there's probably supposed to be, there should be contact, right? Well, I don't want to get anyone into trouble here because maybe they weren't supposed to do this, but the bottom line is we're in a room, and when you're doing euthanasia, that's the worst thing you could do if you're trying to reduce the coronavirus, because you're sniffling, you're crying, and you're, you know, blowing your all this stuff as you get sad over your cat. So I'm thinking to myself, well, I understand the concept here, but man, maybe we kind of have it backwards on what we're allowing and what we're not allowing. But a great, great life for my cat, Dave. Just a little tribute here this afternoon for those of you who are dog and cat owners, and you know how important they are to your family. And, you know, my friends, John and Jeannie Sullivan over at Pet Supplies Plus in Baldwin, they are just killing it these days. I check in with them every once in a while. And we've seen this in several industries. So I think when all is said and done, we're going to see a lot of reshuffling of the decks, but I think people are putting a lot of money, effort, time, passion into their animals because there's not a whole lot that you can do right now. So I think that one of my recommendations is if you think you can do it, adopt a pet. We're not quite ready for another one because we just got the kitten a few weeks ago, a bit of a preemptive strike knowing that our numbers were going to be reduced. But man, I hope I don't have to do the euthanasia thing for a long time. Dave, have you gone through that with dogs in the past? I know this was Casey's dog when you got married,
yeah,
wasn't it?
No, I have not. I will tell you, just when we thought it was going to happen, I was not ready. Those few days, I was miserable. And I'm not going to be ready when that time comes. And I know it's who knows? It could be a year from now because she's an older dog. So who knows? I am not going to be ready for that. So you honestly might have to help me with that.
Well, when Chase, my big lab, who weighed over 100 pounds, when we had to put him to sleep just 2 months ago, we actually found, and this is something that's very common. Now, you can, I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to admit something, you can say I'm cheap or whatever, but I'll just tell you what happened. And they came out, you know, for Chase in the home, which we thought was more comfortable, especially because he was a large dog. But here's the part that I didn't think I was going to get involved with. When the person came to the home, it was just one person. You got a 105-pound dog. She was kind of a, you know, she looked like she was fit, but I didn't think she was going to grab a dog that just was euthanized and, you know, pick him up and bring him to the van. So I had to help with that, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
Removing, oh, it was horrible. So I wasn't really, that was something I didn't sign up for. So I would recommend for those of you who might do this, because I do think it's probably a better way to go. It's more comfortable and, you know, the setting is better. But without giving you specifics on pricing, I found it interesting when we were looking out, we reached out to that same company for Dave the cat. The pricing on the 105-pound dog was exactly the same as it was for the cat, which I thought was maybe not expected. So that's why I opted out of the home visit this time. Does that make sense?
That's very interesting. I think it'd be a little cheaper, at least cut you some break there.
Well, but okay. Either situation, the same thing happens. Like here I am, and unfortunately the cat is on my lap. I mean, it's very peaceful when it happens, but that's like the last image you have, and it's just horrible, unfortunately. So had to go through it again. I'm hoping I have my little terrier Olaf is 7 years old. Those terriers live pretty long, though, I think. Although I'd give him, if anyone wants to adopt Olaf, he's up for the taking right now. He's such a pain in the butt. I'll just send me an email. No, I'm kidding. My wife's listening right now. He's a good dog. He's just, you know how those terriers are. But my point is, I hope I don't have to do that in any kind of room in the near future, because 3 in 1 year has been enough. It's 316. Fox Sports Midwest is going to rebrand itself and focus a little bit more on sports gambling. It's probably the wave of the future. Is it risky or not? How do you explain it to the kids moving forward? Patrick Risch from Wash U. He's the director of the Sports Business Program. He joins me next on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
Roger had this report at the top of the hour, this shooting that had occurred right around 3 o'clock near the Unibelt and Olive, and Kevin Killeen's heading to the scene, so we'll have the very latest on that, hopefully maybe even more information at 3:30. Kristen Cornett is with us from News 4 on weather this afternoon. I just opened up the forecast. Tonight's low, the coldest night morning of the season so far, 23 for the low tonight, so brace, yeah. I don't like that. 45 tomorrow, 51 on Wednesday, though, so it's gonna warm up quickly. Let's talk about this Fox Sports Midwest situation with Bally's and the gaming, because I do find it interesting, and I mentioned in the last hour, I like to wager on sports. I've never had a bookie. I know friends who have had bookies. I kind of have a bookie in my mom. She lives 5 minutes away from Arlington Park. She's been able to place my horse bets over the years. And my friend Rick in Las Vegas, you know, I can use my William Hill app when I'm out there, but I can't once I leave the region. So I'll shoot him a couple of bucks and we'll do some football parlays and things along those lines. So I tend to be responsible and try to have a little bit of fun with it. Don't get too out of control, but obviously there might be some risks moving forward. But let's find out a little bit more about how this might work. Patrick Risch is back with us, the director of the Sports Business Program at Washington University. Hey, Patrick, welcome back to KMOX. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So how do we envision this moving forward? I think a lot of people don't have the advantage of having placed bets on a, you know, sports gambling app or even going to Vegas. So when we watch a broadcast, when this sort of is implemented moving forward, what are we going to see? Do we have an idea of that, or is that still sort of a mystery?
Well, I suspect that what we're going to see is a couple things. First of all, if you go back to the XFL, one of the innovations that they introduced was showing some of the gaming numbers, over-unders, the betting lines of the games, actually as part of the scoreboard during the game, so at least people were aware of it. And I suspect that's something that they'll do on this new Bally's product. But the other thing is that on Bally's apps, you can have people betting in-game. And I think that's, you know, the broader issue here is this, that gaming and betting on sports is becoming legalized across many states, and only more will make it legal in the coming years. And I think they are just Sinclair is simply looking for additional revenue streams, knowing that your traditional cable subscriptions are going down. So how do we make up that lost revenue? One way to do it is through streaming services, but another way to do it is to gamify your product. And that's exactly what they're doing with this partnership. I think it's a great move on their part.
Well, so, you know, I understand it as a business decision, but as, you know, just sort of a baseball purist, you wonder when we look at the game, will there be lots of scrolls and will it be a busy screen that will indicate? Because it's just, and I think Ben Hockman wrote about this in the Post this morning, it's not just something or a relationship where you're going to have a suggestion of gambling. You're basically encouraging gambling.
Yeah, and so that's going to be the delicate balance for the people producing these sporting events for the broadcast. How busy is that screen going to be? Because there are those that don't want to see it, the traditionalists, and then you're going to have others, especially the younger demos, that are more apt to, you know, weigh in and want to game and want to compete. And I think the other thing that makes this strategically advantageous for people like Sinclair and Bally's is the fact that in-game betting has increased in the last few years, even if you go beyond this idea of which states is it legal and not legal. I think this just goes back to just the simplicity of how easy things are when they're at the touch of our fingertips. So having these apps and then having information during the game, whether it's scrolling or however they choose to put it on the screen, it's just too easy almost. It all goes back to, you know, we're talking about this actually today in class at WashU, just broadly speaking, that these companies are going after younger fans. And so if they think fans in the 18 to 35 demo are going to be the ones doing this, let's do it to increase engagement.
So how does it work with the legality of sports gambling? For example, I haven't done this yet, but I know you can go to Alton and place a bet at the casino there. And I think you can even use an app if you're in Illinois. I mentioned when I'm in Vegas, I use the William Hill app, which is pretty easy. And I got into the in-game betting about a month ago. I was out there during the World Series and I kind of doubled down on the Rays through some games where they came back and won. You know, I'm $5, $10 to come back and win, you get pretty good odds. So that's fun if you can do it responsibly and not spend, you know, a lot of money on that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's one thing. You talk about all these organizations that have lost money during the pandemic. I think the one area that will still remain, untouched is the collegiate market, where, you know, we're already seeing things happening in the collegiate space that we didn't see 10 years ago. Beer sales, hard liquor sales, sponsorships with these kinds of companies. In the past, they want to avoid that, being around college students, but they realized it was such a huge moneymaker that they decided to do it. Well, now, not only gaming, but let's talk about other industries like, you know, CBD. These are industries that in the past, many organizations and industries would stay away from because of the, you know, potential moral consequences of doing business.
That's right.
With these kinds
of
companies. But with the pandemic, all bets are off. No pun intended. I mean, everyone's going to try to make up their revenue, and that's one way to do it.
So, and I got distracted. I meant to follow up with the question as far as the legality of wagering here. You'd still have have legislation passed to allow people to do that in Missouri, right?
That's my understanding, correct.
So couldn't you have a potential situation where you have all this gambling promotion, but the legislature, which is, you know, dominated by Republicans in Missouri, and I would think that would maybe lean to the non-gambling, side of things, that you could have a Bally's promotion and encouragement of gambling, but no ability to actually place the bets? Isn't that a possible scenario?
That is a possible scenario, which also brings up an interesting side scenario, which is, are people, you know, are you going to have a cottage industry now where people are going across the river to Illinois where they can legally place these bets and still see the same content on a Bally's Midwest station where it's showing the Cardinals and showing the Blues? I think, if anything, that could motivate, especially if the numbers from the state of Illinois and the county right across the river from us, if the revenue numbers are compelling, that might, regardless of what side of the political ledger you stand on, that could influence the state of Missouri to move quicker towards legalizing gambling than otherwise would.
So how does Major League Baseball handle all of this, considering Pete Rose is still not in the Hall of Fame?
Well, it definitely seems like they're doing a two-step, right? Because they certainly are not going to say no, and as many other leagues are not saying no to the corporate partnerships with the DraftKings and the FanDuels of the world. It's just, you've opened up Pandora's box. You have this opportunity to engage with younger fans, and despite Rose's history, they are moving forward, as other leagues are, with these corporate partnerships. Too much money there.
And I love the, you know, I love the freedom aspects. I love that adults, I mean, I think it's silly that I can go, you know, to Las Vegas on this app and use it, but I can't come back to Missouri and do the same thing. However, having said that, I know there's a lot of risks here. I'm someone who's dealt with addiction issues in the past, and, you know, you have to worry about those consequences as well with the, you know, availability.
I think that the main responsibility of the leagues as it relates to that, and that's an excellent point. You've got a lot of parents out there that are hearing us talk about this and maybe getting a little nervous, and rightfully so. I think if the leagues, you know, it's a delicate dance, but if they can come out with a proper messaging and promotion of, if you're going to do this, you've got to do it in a safe way, you've got to do it in a responsible way, much like we see with responsible drinking ads and not going out and drinking and driving and these sorts of messaging that we see, I think that all of these leagues, including baseball, need to do the same thing if they want to at least be able to look in the mirror and say we're doing this in a credible way. But at the end of the day, again, especially with what they're going through with the pandemic and post-pandemic, we're talking billions of dollars lost, so they are going to move forward with these kinds of partnerships.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Patrick, it's fascinating moving forward. I appreciate you coming on here this afternoon. I don't think it's going to be the last time because I'm very curious, and I know a lot of people are as well. Patrick Risch, the director of the Sports Business Program at WashU. I appreciate it as always.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Kevin Killeen is on the site. Roger Brand actually reported on this earlier, instead of a shooting on this is great. This is St. Louis, isn't it? This is what we can, I guess, look forward to, even though this is technically, someone's going to clip me, like Bear Kristen's going to be upset. This is technically, I don't think, in the city. We'd have to find out. But it is on the Interbelt, 170 and Olive, diverted off at Page. Traffic's being taken out there because of this is how Roger described it. He'll join us here in just a minute. Police are investigating a shooting that was possibly the result of a rolling gun battle in the middle of the afternoon in the St. Louis region. That's always nice. Let's lighten it up, though, with George Clooney. I just simply do not believe this story, but we have to investigate. We have to pass the news along. George Clooney claims that he has not missed a single hair trim in 2020 because he's been cutting his own locks since the mid-1990s with a Flobee. He was on CBS Sunday Morning, and I don't really believe that this is even possible. But remember, Dave Klein, do you even remember these things? Because you're probably too young. They had these commercials maybe even in the 70s or could have been the 80s where you basically took a vacuum and you put it on your head and you cut your kids' hairs.
Oh, sure. I got some friends that use it to this day with their kids.
Do you think that George Clooney uses a Flobee? He says he does. Listen to this.
Years ago, I bought a thing called a Flobee, which when we
you
were
did
kid,
not.
When I was a kid, yeah.
The infomercial, the
yeah,
Flobee.
It
yes.
comes with a vacuum cleaner
yes.
and the clippers. Yeah, I still have it.
Stop it. You don't use it.
My haircuts take literally 2 minutes. I go,
is this Flobee?
Yeah, it's Flobee.
That is awesome.
Yeah, listen, man, it works.
Now, I don't doubt, I'd have to see that particular interview. I wouldn't doubt George Clooney's word that he has used the Flobee. I'd have to go back and look at the technology of the Flobee. It's just hard for me to believe that over the past 25 years that an A-list Hollywood actor, especially someone who is people's sexiest man alive, like 13 times or something like that, uses a Flobee. But who knows? Hairstylists everywhere. Panicking. It's 3:50. Maybe the return of the Flobee.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. President Trump on Fox. Maria Bartiromo still refusing to accept the consequences of the election.
This is total fraud. And how the FBI and Department of Justice, I don't know, maybe they're involved, but how people are allowed to get away from this stuff with this stuff is unbelievable. This election was rigged. This is the essence of our country. This is the whole ball game. And they cheated. Joe Biden did not get 80 million votes.
He still has failed to produce any evidence to prove or show why he thinks that. And Chris Krebs, who is a lifelong Republican, put in charge of the agency, you know, that handled election security. Then he was fired by President Trump. But here's what he said on 60 Minutes last night.
I have confidence in the security of this election because I know the work that we've done for 4 years in support of our state and local partners. I know the work that the intelligence community has done, that the Department of Defense has done, that the FBI has done, that my team has done. I know that these systems are more secure. I know, based on what we have seen, that any attacks on the election were not successful.
Well, there's your audio cut of the day. Despite that, you still have millions of people that think it was rigged. I wonder why that is. 3:56, Total Information PM is coming up on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.